Hey, the Jay Thomas Show podcast is coming up, and it's brought to you by Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. And Hot Tub Vinny is with us. Vinny, let's talk Finleo saunas. I have one. I've had it for a couple years now. I love it. And this is the best time of the year to use that sauna. You can use it all year round, but boy, when you start getting that cold weather, it feels so good. And what it does for your body is amazing, Vinny.
Yeah, as we head into this time of year, you're right. I use it 365 days a year, but boy, as that chill in the air gets, more and more into the fall here, it just feels wonderful, and the sauna is even more inviting. And, you know, you head into this time of year, too, you talk about a flu shot. I'm going to tell you, sauna is better than a flu shot.
I would
agree.
Why.
You sit in a sauna every day, you're giving yourself a fever, an induced fever. Your body breaks that fever by sweating. That's what's happening in a sauna, amongst many other things. As we've talked about before in the past, the studies released that are all over. You sit in a sauna four times a week, 20 minutes a day, reduce your chance of a heart attack by 50%, Alzheimer's, dementia by 66%, stroke by 72%. And now they're coming out saying it reduces cholesterol, which I would say to that, duh.
No brainer.
Yeah, no brainer.
Have the great experience that we are talking about. Go to Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. Multiple locations. Where are you, Vinny?
We're in West Fargo, Bismarck, and Grand Forks. And we have over 20 saunas on display. There's not one size fits all. So come on in. Not only will we give you a tour, but we'll tell you why you need a sauna.
Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. They bring you the Jay Thomas Show podcast. Let's get to it. Jay Thomas Show, good afternoon. Welcome to the program. Ronnie, it looks like the big rig Bermuda Triangle hit again right out in front of our building.
Oh.
Like another one pulled over.
Yeah, they must be on a blitz. I saw a few cars pulled over that
this
morning.
This is a broken down rig. For some reason, these rigs always seem to pull over in front of our studios out here overlooking I-29.
Well, they know who supports Moving America.
There you go, baby. Jay Thomas Show, welcome to it for a Monday, one away from Election Day Eve, I guess you can call it.
Yeah. The day when, usually we stop hearing my opponent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what do we got going on today? The only candidate for mayor for the Fargo race that has not been on my program is Denise Kolpak, and she will be in studio at 3:05.
Yeah, how about that?
So we'll spend the hour with Denise. And then Dave Withey, who is running for one of the West Fargo commission seats, he'll be in studio at 4:05 this afternoon. So, all right, welcome to it. Turned out to be a nice day. Dean's off today. Russ Thomas, chief meteorologist, Valley News Live, is going to join us here in a few minutes. Talk about what could possibly hit us tomorrow. This weather does not look good, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I did very, very early this morning see some video from out in western North Dakota. Yeah. Boy, did parts of that area get blasted.
Hazen, I see Tioga, Dickinson. I think just west of Medora they had baseball-size hail.
Yeah, the video I saw, I believe, was from a rig site near Crosby, and it looked like the wall of a hurricane.
It's nuts. Well, welcome everybody listening on 1090, the flag out in Tioga, central western North Dakota. You are listening at damage. How bad you get hit with those storms last night. 701-293-9000, that's our Thor Building studio line. Post Frame Construction for ag and commercial industry. They also do residential work. You'll love working with Thad and his crew. They're fantastic at what they do. Built stronger, built to last. Put the hammer down and build with Thor. Email us as well. Studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. That's our Red Wing Boot and Shoe studio inbox, 3003 Main Avenue in Fargo. Teresa and the crew will take care of you. They got the custom fit orthotics as well, plus the accessories. They do the repairs. Yeah, and they got those fantastic over 125 years. Now they've been around. Red Wing Boot and Shoes. So check them out. And open 7 days a week, Sundays now from noon to 4.
Yeah.
So, and welcome our folks listening on AM 1100, The Flag. And, of course, we come to you from our flagship, 970 WDAY, 93.1 FM, and also 92.3. All right. What else is going on? How was the weekend, pal?
Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good. We went to Virgis.
What's going on
at
Virgis?
The brother-in-law's place and hung out on the lake.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
It was nice weather. Except for that wind yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, we shouldn't complain after what happened out in western North Dakota.
Yeah.
Dickinson, 80 to 90 mile an hour winds. Ronnie Garrison, 98 mile an hour winds.
Yeah, I
possible tornado in Mobile.
Saw some, and I would assume it was on a bay in Lake Sakakawea. Some damaged boat docks. And,
yeah, I've seen side trailers, or you know, RVs flipped over as well. Trees down. Yeah, some pretty damaging stuff. All right, so if you got any listening out there, central western North Dakota, and you want to tell us about the damage you received, 701-293-9000. Would love to hear from you. Is Russ hooked up? Ready to go?
Let me check. He is live.
All right. Russ Thomas, what happened? Boy, they got nailed out in central western, or I should say western North Dakota last night. Wow.
Boy, they did. You know, it was interesting watching. I was actually in-house working last night, and once the severe thunderstorm started going, it was literally a wall the entire state, just marching through. I only saw a couple tornado warnings that didn't last very long, kind of shorter in small areas. Other than that, though, just about the entire western half of the state, right through the central part of the state, saw severe thunderstorms up and down for a several-hour window.
When did those things finally, because we didn't get that here. I mean, they died out before they got here.
They did, yeah. Now, as late as about 2:30 in the morning, we had a severe thunderstorm warning that popped up kind of ahead of the line of storms that reached all the way to Cass County. The thing is they were weakening as they were moving in and just running into an atmosphere that wasn't as unstable. So again, we were seeing some of those severe storms start to taper off. We did see a few showers in the Red River Valley, a couple lightning strikes. But yeah, just it really, as it was marching through, it hit us in our region just at the right time where the storms are starting to weaken, and weaken pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think I had a tenth of an inch in my gauge this morning when I got up. Wasn't a whole lot, and we need the rain. Man, it's so dry out there. I know there's places that don't need more, but here we need it. We got to get some rain.
Oh, we do. Yeah, and there are going to be more opportunities here. Unfortunately, those opportunities will come with more storms, in particular watching tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'd say about 5-6 o'clock, moving into the western, like the Jamestown, Devil's Lake Basin area, in the same scenario. Storms just marching through our direction. The only issue is, the only problem we have this time is the atmosphere is going to be very unstable. So whereas we were lucky and they died out last night early this morning, that's not going to happen tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening. I think in particular, if we're talking about Fargo, Moorhead, and the Red River Valley, I think a window of about, the way it looks now, about 8 o'clock through about 10, 11 o'clock. Not that entire window of time, but somewhere during that window, we're going to get a very strong line of storms move through.
What should we be concerned about in these things?
Yeah, what's that? I'm sorry.
What should we be concerned? I mean, what are you guys looking at? Because I know Dina posted a quick story this morning and saying, you know, basically that the, you know, here's the ingredients are all coming together, and this could be this could be a pretty nasty evening tomorrow evening for us. And he's talking, this may wind up being a derecho event.
Yeah, derecho event. I think that is actually likely.
What is that? Explain to folks what a derecho is.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got these basically thunderstorms, line of storms. It's a widespread, fast-moving, and it's kind of a long-lived sort of deal. Produces what we call straight-line wind. So it's almost like, as opposed to a tornado, of course, where you've got the rotation.
Yep.
This is just a wall of winds all kind of going the same direction. They can hit, you know, 60, 70, 80-plus miles per hour, and they're just marching on through. A good example, last when we had the system last June 20th, 21st there, we actually had a derecho that moved through northwest Minnesota. And I don't know if you recall this, but like in the Bemidji area, knocked down 9 million trees or something. So that sort of event, you know, is it likely? I think it is. I think there's a good chance of it. I don't know that I go likely, if that makes sense. But the opportunity is going to be there, and there's a pretty good chance of that.
Well, yeah, we got the heat and everything coming in tomorrow, so that's just going to fuel this thing.
Absolutely. In fact, I've got a high for 93, and in a good chunk of the day up until the evening or late afternoon evening, it's going to be pretty sunny out there tomorrow as well. So that certainly doesn't do anything to help the scenario. Tornadoes, opportunity for those. Certainly, one of the bigger stories in addition to the derecho is large hail, potentially up to 2.5 inches in diameter. That's tennis ball size.
Man.
That is the it's going to injure you if it hits you size. Wind speeds up to 75 plus miles per hour. It looks like it is going to be kind of that classic big storm scenario. In fact, our weather chaser, storm chaser, Eric Whitehill, he is already, when he starts planning things 48 hours out, the trip, you know, and he was like last night, he gave me a call. He's like, so Tuesday I'm going out. I'll come pick up the equipment. So, yeah, it looks like it's going to be a real threat for the area.
All right. And then after this, we got kind of a cool down, don't we?
Yeah, I think a few isolated storms Wednesday, maybe severe, but nothing like Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I think those will wind down by Wednesday afternoon. After that, you're right. I mean, we've got mid-70s to low-70s as far as the eye can see. It'll calm down a little bit. The weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, looking really good sunshine. It'll be windy, but we'll get sun, highs in the low to mid-70s, which is actually, considering the heat we've had and the heat we're going to see tomorrow, that'll be a welcome break.
Yeah, there you go. All right, anything else people need to know regarding this possible weather that's coming our way?
Yeah, I think the big thing is just staying on top. But obviously, we're going to do that. We're going to be on all the socials letting you know. We'll be on at 5, 6, and 10. Just really staying on top of this. And, you know, again, even within a few hours, there's always a little discrepancy, a little difference in the models with new things that come out. But right now, it's pretty consistent that it's going to be pretty dangerous at times tomorrow night. So I think that's the big thing we want to just keep your eye out for.
All right, Russ Thomas, Chief Meteorologist, Valley News Live. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too, man. 16 minutes after 2 o'clock, Jay Thomas Show on a Monday, 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Well, this should be interesting because we have the election night coverage tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Starting at 7 o'clock here on 970 WDAY Radio. It will be me and Tim Flackle, or Tim Flackle and I. We'll be doing coverage, getting the latest numbers as they come in. We'll have some guests on as well. And then on you folks that listen on AM 1100, The Flag, they'll have their own separate coverage tomorrow. That'll be Steve Hallstrom and Scott Hannon. And I think Steve will be in studio, if I'm not mistaken, and then Scott will be bouncing around from candidate watch party to candidate watch party. So that's what we got going on. And, of course, it sounds like we're going to be weaving in a lot of weather updates possibly.
Yeah.
So I guess I know what I'm doing tonight, putting stuff away.
I mean, I'm hopeful nothing, you know, really bad happens, things get damaged, et cetera. But with derecho events, that possibility always exists.
Well, wasn't that what, with the big tornadoes that hit that F5 hit over by Lisbon?
Enderlin,
there we go. And wasn't it a derecho that basically stopped that thing from continuing coming into the metro area, if I'm not mistaken?
Gosh, I don't recall. I would have to ask Dean about that.
I think that's what he said. He said that a derecho just popped up, and boom, that's what stopped the tornado.
Sure.
So, yeah, some crazy weather coming.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to our neck of the woods. All right, what else? I don't know if you caught this story or not. Valley News Live had this during the lunch hour. A underwater search and recovery dive team has pulled a vehicle from the Red River while working on a missing persons case from 2023.
Oh, no.
No, the group called Adventures with Purpose was back in town to continue its independent search related to the disappearance of Jeanette Warner. This vehicle's not tied to her.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
So if you start seeing rumors out there, no, it's officers said the vehicle recovered from the Red River is not connected to Warner's case and has no known ties to West Fargo. So
I did see the article on our site, but I hadn't read exactly what it all entailed. So,
all right. What else? Boy, I'll tell you, man, over the weekend, and usually I don't get on social media a whole lot, but boy, I'll tell you, people are not happy with what's going on with Jade Presents and their tickets.
I saw that to varying
and paychecks as well.
Yeah, to varying degrees. I mean, I saw a ton of posts about alleging employees can't cash paychecks.
Well, if people, you file bankruptcy, isn't everything locked
your
up?
Your money is legally tied up until all of that is resolved.
Yeah.
Meaning, even if you wanted to issue, you can't. Until all of that stuff is accounted and, all the legalese stuff done, you can't do anything with it. It's frozen.
Yeah, and I don't know if anybody listening out there, if you've got money tied up in tickets that now you don't know what's going to happen. If you do, how much you tied up for? I saw a lot of people, what is it, the Up District? Where they
Up District Festival Field,
Yeah, and they're talking like they're over $600 in tickets.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a few of those posts. I saw questions about additional shows. Is this show still going to happen? We announced one.
Allison Krauss.
Allison Krauss in Union Station. And almost within hours of that being announced, there were additional posts going, here's what I paid for VIP tickets and where my seats would have been at Blue Stem. I didn't receive the same tickets for what I paid at Blue Stem at Shields. What's up with that?
Well,
I paid for.
Well, you're not going to get what you paid for.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be frustrated too, but was it Shields that stepped up? Bell Bank?
Shields and Bell Bank stepped up.
So, I mean, for those guys
sure,
to step up to make sure that you still got your concert, yeah, you're not going to have the same. It's two different hangout callers. It's two different venues. You get the beautiful outdoor venue at Blue Stem. You got Shields Arena that's indoor. Yeah, it's going to be different, but at least they are different. At least they stepped up and said, "Look, you know what? Let's try to make this show happen for these folks that that bought tickets for it." I don't know if this is going to happen for other shows. Didn't he have like David Lee Roth coming to Blue Stem?
Yeah, there were a number of other shows that had been announced that I think are all in limbo now. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Matt J. Thomas Show.
$800 and David Lee Roth tickets also in limbo.
Well, okay, so $800 plus the David Lee Roth tickets too?
No, that's my total. $792 and change for four tickets.
Holy smokes, dude. And are you hearing anything? I gotta believe not.
Not a word. The moment I heard bankruptcy, I'm with you guys. I was like, well, This isn't gonna get shaken down anytime soon. I'm not expecting to get anything back, quite frankly.
Yeah, I've ticket holders. I mean, you know, if it's bankruptcy, well, we know it's filed bankruptcy. You're way down on the list of taken care of, which sucks.
Not only that, but I don't know what the intricacies are with potentially filing a claim with your credit card.
I know some people have tried that. Yeah. Go ahead, Matt.
Exactly right. Yeah, and that was what I was going to say. Like I haven't called American Express yet, but I'm fairly certain the first question, have they told you what the process is going to be? And I haven't, and that hasn't played any, there's no steps at all that I've heard from Jade yet. So, I don't think the credit card company is just going to credit me on faith that, you know, if I can't get my money back, I'm going to send that on to American Express? I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Matt, appreciate the phone call. 701-293-9000. Anybody else out there, if you're out, how much money are you out right now when it comes to tickets for any Jade Presents shows? Matt said it's over $800 for four David Lee Roth tickets.
Yeah, the only situation I can... it was not a bankruptcy. It was COVID.
Okay.
And they were canceling all of these shows and ended up canceling the entire tour that year. I was supposed to see Kenny Chesney.
Oh, that's right. You were in for a lot of money.
At the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, and it was $600 per ticket, which was the VIP and the whole kit and caboodle, front row or, seating.
No.
And I sweated it out for about 4.5 months. And then finally, they officially said, this thing is off. It's not going to happen. And I finally got a message from the venue that said, we will refund this to your debit card, but it took a long time.
Who was it that was supposed to play? Remember the Alaris Center, and they backed out, and it was forever before people got their money back. And they
Jonas Brothers,
Jonas
right?
Brothers, yeah. I think that's
And they
forever,
and then they backed out. I think a second time.
I think you might be right.
When they tried to reschedule them, so they are persona non grata, I think.
So, but you got your Kenny Chesney stuff
finally,
back.
Yes.
Have you ever been outed on tickets? Or I should say, out, just 100% not getting my money? I've never experienced that.
Yeah, thankfully, I don't believe I have ever had a situation where I just straight lost my money. Now, my wife, on the other hand, same situation. They had bought tickets for a rock festival in Wisconsin, I believe, that her and her daughter had gone to several years.
Mm-hmm.
They
Somerset?
It could have. Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
They ended up losing three quarters, I believe, of the funds. They never did.
What would happen?
It was same thing. I mean, it was COVID.
Yeah. Okay.
But then they announced late in the process bankruptcy. It's not, we're not only will it not happen this year, but it will cease to happen. And then they didn't get anything. So,
you know, and a lot of this, I put this on, you know, I'm going to put this on the artists, what they're charging for concerts
now. Oh, it's
now,
insane. It's absolutely
it's
insane.
Outrageous. And I know why they're doing it, because, you know, you used to depend on a lot of your money coming in from record sales, album sales, CD, whatever. Mm-hmm. You just don't have that anymore.
Yep.
With the world of digital, look at Spotify. I pay $9.99 or $11.99. I don't know what it is a month for Spotify. And I have access to millions and millions of songs with a click of or touch of my phone. It's unbelievable. And does some of that money go to the artists? Yeah. But when you look, when you break it down and see how many plays an artist has to get before they get really anything of substantial financial return, it's unbelievable. So they're making their money, or trying to, doing the concerts. But I'm telling you, Ronnie, listeners, they're gonna price themselves right out of business. And it's promoters like, you know, Jay. I'm surprised after COVID that Jade went this long, because COVID just ripped apart the entertainment industry when it comes to these promotion companies. And, you know, while you got $4.4 million from the government, That again is nothing in the world of promotions and concerts. That money will go fast.
Well, yeah, really, and they weren't the only entity of this same, you know, a promoter. They weren't the only promoter that received funds like that. And in addition, you know, you still hear the stories about Kid Rock testifying, and companies like Live Nation and Ticketmaster still, you know. People are trying to do stuff, but it's just right now or that nothing's really occurring. And the same thing with sports. There was just someone talking about the NBA finals that said, you know, we wish we could have more regular, you know, New Yorkers come to the Knicks games. They showed floor seats, $180,000 for a basketball ticket.
Unbelievable.
You can buy a house for, well, okay. Well, you can put a pretty good
small town North Dakota,
in.
You can. Not so much in the bigger town,
right,
but small town you can.
Pretty good down payment, I guess, in Fargo.
All right. 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. It's 227 Jay Thomas Show. Great song. .237. That's a custom truck and auto shine time check. Not just a detailing shop, so much more. Auto body work, or body work, I shouldn't say. They'll do the accessories, the add-ons. You got a fleet of vehicles, semis, whatever you need them clean. They'll come out and take care of all that for you as well. You'll find them here in Fargo. Check them out online, CustomTruckAndAutoShine.biz. And coming up is our second annual Hebron Brick and Allsager Salute to Service. It's a community picnic. Join us Thursday, July 25th. It'll happen from 3 to 7 p.m. at Hebron Brick Supply out in West Fargo. It is a picnic benefiting the North Dakota Minnesota Veterans Honor Flight. We'll have live. I'll be out there from 2 to 5. Live music from the 60s guys, actually. They're pretty darn good. Pulled pork, brats, old-fashioned hot dogs and chips from Allsager Meats. Beer wagon provided by Brutus Brick House. Free will donation accepted. They're going to help send local veterans to Washington, D.C. Ronnie, you've been on, what, two of those flights now?
I have, and it was an incredible honor to be chosen and help with the volunteers and talk to all the vets. So
have some attractions out there. There'll be a restored Willie's Army Jeep on display, a vintage 1940s fire truck. Of course, it's a family-friendly atmosphere, so bring the kids, meet local veterans and honor flight volunteers. Also, raffle prizes include an electric golf cart, a Henry rifle, a Adirondack chair, however you say that. I can never pronounce that one.
Adirondack.
That ain't right either.
A fancy chair
and table set.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's like those beach-looking chairs?
Yeah, yeah.
So tons of stuff going on. Hope to see you out there. All right, 701-293-9000, email studio, WDAYRadioNow.com. The only candidate I've not had on for the Fargo mayoral race is Denise Kolpak, and she will be in studio at 3:05 this afternoon. Dave Withey, we're running for one of the West Fargo commission seats, will join us at 4:05 in studio. So being told that, Jay, I started using Spotify, and I was curious a few months ago on what performers are paid. Boy, not much, Jay. Yeah, I told you, it's not much. Spotify pays on average 3 cents to 5 cents per stream. So, like I said, these performers, they're not raking in the big dollars like they used to, you know, with record sales or CD sales, stuff like that. So now it's they're depending on. I checked on David Lee Roth, by the way, about $250,000 for David Lee Roth. That's why Matt paid $800 for David Lee Roth tickets. And look, I've seen recent videos of David Lee Roth's shows. They're horrible.
And a pack of glazed donuts to go.
They are horrible.
Yeah, and Vince Neil, same thing. It doesn't sound like he used to.
No. All right, 2:40, Steve Hallstrom joins us in studio. What are you doing there, buddy? Oral research?
Just catching up on the day a little bit. Did you hear the recruiting win the Bison football team got over the weekend?
No, I didn't, because I'm
still shaking my head about this, Jay, and I've seen this story 3 times now.
All right.
Fargo South has a tight end. He's a junior this year. He's about 6'7", 225, 230.
Okay.
His name is Drew Kessel. He's got an older brother, Reese, who's a sophomore at NDSU. This kid had offers from 5 Big Ten schools, including Michigan.
Wow.
And he picked the Bison.
That's crazy. When the Bison went
D1, did you ever think they would beat the Michigan Wolverines on a recruit? And it was Minnesota, Wisconsin. There's a few others, too. But I'm just like, what a get for Tim Polasek. Holy smokes.
Yeah, this is going to be, for Bison sports, at least for football, this is going to be huge, man.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know if I like watching games at 11 o'clock at night.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
I don't know if they get him if they still are in FCS. So if you want to say, okay, is this FBS move, Mountain West Conference, is this really going to bring a different caliber of football player to the Dome? Yeah, on your own dang team,
yeah,
apparently.
Exactly. That's crazy.
So that's what I just watching some commentary on this, and crazy. Crazy. But good, I think, if you're a Bison.
Well, I think it speaks to the culture, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had a kid from Arizona who wanted to transfer out of the portal here. You had a kid who played at Notre Dame, wanted to come here. Things are different.
Yeah, it's going to be big, man. It already is big.
The Bison fans are getting ready to go to Vegas. I mean, can you what a party that's going to be.
Oh, dude, can you imagine being on those planes?
That second weekend?
Holy smokes.
Imagine being on those planes. You're looking for a correspondent, Steve. I'm just saying.
Uh-huh.
Shut up and get in line, Ronnie. I put my hand up first. I hear you.
I just had a listener, speaking of correspondent, I just had a listener reach out to me yesterday, and somehow he got access to the UFC fights at the White House. So he's going to be there, a correspondent. So he's like, do you want me to call in and do up?
Gosh.
I'm like, yeah, definitely.
That was supposed to be the 4th of July, but now that's being moved up to late June or something, right?
If they don't shut it down. I was going to say, I just learned today there are 2 people filing a lawsuit to attempt to stop it.
They didn't do an environmental
They claim it's against a longstanding rule prohibiting sporting events on federal park lands. Something to that effect.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm sure Trump will take 10 seconds for an executive order to clear that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they were saying that, that had to have been approved by Congress before it could happen and all of a sudden. The only thing crazier than that, guys,
we need an environmental impact study.
That's exactly what they're saying. Yeah, they didn't do an environmental impact study
of course
on it.
They got
on what? Putting a ring on the lawn at the White House?
If you ever wonder why we need less regulation in Washington, D.C., there's a start.
Well, exactly.
We're from the government. We're here to help.
Yeah, the only thing crazier than that, have you been following Spencer Pratt?
Yeah.
Come on.
Did we talk about this on your show?
Yes, they want us to. I've been talking about Spencer for the last couple of weeks now. This guy, the third place jumps into first place in every ballot drop after Election Day. Everybody said that it defies mathematical probability. The law averages has never happened in U.S. election history. I mean, not one vote on these mail-in drops that come in. Voted for Spencer.
24,000, I think, was the number. And people will say, well, Jay, we don't have any proof here. That if you have a statistical impossibility that gets turned in as a final result, you have as much proof as you'd ever need.
No one with a functional brain believes any of that.
If Spencer Pratt was pulling like 3.5%, then you might say, okay, it's possible. He's getting a third of the votes, basically. To say that he's not going to get one single vote.
Well,
in 24,000.
And I don't know any other way to give at least the impression of impropriety than to have Nithya Raman have a concession speech.
Yeah.
And then the next day, she's like, whoa, out of this yet.
Let's slow our roll here.
She got 13 votes on the day of the primary, and now she's got, 290,000 in the mail-in category. You cannot make it up.
Give me a break. Mm. All right, Steve, before we talk about our coverage tomorrow night, which now looks like we're going to be doing weather coverage possibly as well.
Might be a little everything.
A little dicey. Mm-hmm. So where are you at with the, what's your gut telling you as a Fargo resident? Start with mayoral race.
I'm telling you, Jay, I have no idea. First of all, my political instincts are not that good. I thought Trump was going to beat Biden. I thought that Kamala Harris was going to beat Trump. I'm just wrong on everything.
I usually am, too.
And on the local races especially, I think it's really hard because you just don't know who's really connecting with voters.
And you don't know who's going to come out.
That's what I'm trying to say. You said it better than me. Who's connecting with voters? Who's going to turn out? And who's going to say, you know what, I'm just mad as heck and I'm not going to take it anymore. I feel like in my bones that this is a dead heat between Josh Bush and Michelle Turnberg.
That's how I feel,
because
too.
Because I think the apparatus that Josh has put together, I think, is really good. People who know this game say he's got his minions all over social media commenting and playing bigger than they are. But that makes people feel like, okay, he's going to win. So either I'll vote for him, I'm just not going to go if I voted for someone else, because I think my candidate's going to lose. So he's got his people all over doing that. They've been doing a lot of phone surveying, a lot of digital, a lot of social media, and that digital stuff is really good. I've not seen one ad for Josh Boshe other than heard the ones on the radio. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Josh should not be targeting his ads toward me digitally. He should be going after somebody who's a Democrat or someone who's a liberal. He shouldn't be going after me. So I'm not seeing anything from Josh, but I know that he's out there. So I don't know about that. I will say this. Ronnie and I actually were talking about this outside in the hall earlier today with JT, our ops director, and that if you someday the conservatives in Fargo are going to say, you know what, enough is enough. We're showing up and we're getting out and we're tired of all the liberal crap in this town.
Yep.
That might be now. I don't know, because there is an opportunity. If every conservative comes out in Fargo and votes for Michelle and then one of the two of the three conservative candidates on the commission, you would not recognize this town, I don't believe. You would see so much change so dang fast and make your head spin. Yep. And if there's any candidate who I think can mobilize their people to say, we're tired, we're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and we want to change, we want our candidate, that's not Josh.
Yep.
It's not. You're getting in Josh exactly what you've got with Tim Mahoney. Maybe a little better organized, maybe a little more capable leadership, but the same sort of agenda. The code
social
people,
stuff.
Exactly. I think if you are asking yourself what candidate can get people so pissed off that they're tired of walking through needles and having 10% city budget expenses and having all the downtown stuff going on and go along, get along, I think you're saying Michelle is the candidate that can light people's fire. Now, I think that could be Dave as well, but Dave has run a very quiet campaign, I think.
Very quiet.
I just don't see him out there. I've seen the billboards, and he's been at the debates.
I haven't seen those.
The billboards?
No, I haven't seen any of them.
Oh, for real? Oh,
no,
God,
they're all
over. I saw one on 40th Avenue in that
area. I'll be honest. I really don't look at billboards too often.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of like you are, so... Yeah, and I think I will say this. Denise Kolpak has made a really good... big push late in this thing. She got the forum endorsement, which I think still means something to people. Mm-hmm. And she has spent hard lately. And the ad that she has running right now, the 90-second ad that you're hearing on the radio, is the best ad that's been done in this entire campaign by any candidate. It's just really, really good. And it's really effective. So she's making a big push. And I think she and Josh split a vote. So if you are a fan of either Pepcorn or Turnberg, I think you're glad to see Denise making a big push, because I think she pulls some votes away from Josh. Whereas Michelle, I don't think has that kind of other option on the conservative side that's working hard to pull votes away. So I can see Michelle find a way to win this one. And last thing on this.
Yeah.
One of my listeners today sent this in a text message. And I'm like, you're 100% right. I hadn't really thought of it this way. But remember, Michelle was on TV for all these years. People know her in town. The last 2 years, every 2 weeks, she's been complaining about something in the city commission meeting. She's been out there. People have heard from her. With Josh, yes, he represents a part of Fargo for sure, but you're not seeing him outside of that part, that district in Fargo. And let's face it, the local legislators, they don't really play all that big out in the legislature because they kind of get drowned out with everybody else there. Mm-hmm. So Michelle's voice has been much louder and much more frequent in Fargo over the last 2 years than Josh's has.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting evening tomorrow, to say the least.
I think it's going to be, there's more drama and more suspense and more what the heck is going to happen in this than I remember in a long, long time.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, that this could change Fargo for years, mm-hmm. for years to come.
And over in your town.
Yeah, West Fargo. God, I just don't know who's going to win that mayoral race over there, man.
Nobody wants to be the mayor, apparently.
It's the craziest
one
thing.
Guy.
Word has it there may be a huge write-in.
No, people do not do that, man. Don't.
Well, it would have to be huge to make a difference. So
what are we doing for coverage tomorrow? Now, you and Scott are over on the flag. We're splitting the stations.
Correct.
Myself, along with Tim Flackle, will be over here. Yep. We're going to be more like the numbers guys, breaking the numbers as they come in and getting them out and storm
coverage
possibly.
We're going to be drinking and partying and we're going to be cheering people on. We're not partial over on the flag.
No.
So we are partial. We're not objective is what I meant to say. So. Yeah, it'll be a little more, I don't want to say spirited, because you and Tim will do a great job. Yeah, we can be a little more transparent over at the other end of the hall. Yeah, 7 o'clock, both stations, whatever you want. If you want, down the road, straight down the middle, smart guys talking stuff, you get this group. If you want to see the crazies on the other end of the hall, it's the flag tomorrow.
And Scott's going to be bouncing from party to party, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, okay. So he'll be drunk much earlier than most anybody else will.
All right, fantastic. Mm-hmm. We always love a good drunk
can
Scott
out
here. Can
you get drunk on seltzers?
Well, you can if they got barley in them.
Some of the stuff they're selling over at that house in Moorhead, 60 times the legal limit of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
If I'm looking to party, I'm going to that house.
I don't know if I'd go to that house. Might stay away from that one.
Hey, they got the good stuff. You can't even buy that stuff in the store over there.
No, exactly.
Yowza.
All right. So, coverage starts tomorrow at 7. And, of course, the weather hits. We'll weave that in as well. Dean Wysocki will be on patrol. So we'll keep you updated on everything. Mm-hmm. We'll know by 10 the mayor.
Yeah, they said they're going to update there's a new website for Secretary of State, and look, if you've been on that website before and you need to navigate it like I'm going to need to tomorrow, get on there today and look around, because it's different. It's good once you get the hang of it, but they're going to update every 10 minutes, and I think we're 10-ish. But last time around, I think it went later than that.
I think you're right.
I feel like it's going to be between like 10:30 and 10:45 would be my guess. But could be earlier than that. We're going to have more turnout. I mean, what they're saying, people are motivated to vote in this one.
And we're back to normal all-American voting. Vote for one candidate.
Oh, praise God. Goodness. Yeah, for sure. And remember now, you can go to any one of those locations in Cass County. You don't have to go to your local neighborhood church or the Water Buffalo Hall. Wherever you want to go, there's like 20 locations in the county. You can go to any one of them tomorrow between 7 and 7.
Emails,
no excuses.
Exactly. I completely disagree with Steve. Denise's ad is nothing but flowery pandering and pretending to be a centrist.
It's a good ad.
No one is falling for that. Michelle has had the best ads by far, straightforward, to the point, and unapologetic. No, I'm with you on Denise's latest ad. Now, I'm not saying that because she's going to be in her next but it's
Michelle's stuff is good too.
Oh, Michelle's stuff's good. Now, if you're going to go by yard signs, holy smokes, Michelle all the way.
Yeah, well, yeah,
unless you're just yards.
Unless you're running the half marathon downtown Fargo, then it's Josh 10-1.
Oh, well, I suppose, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it depends on who comes out tomorrow.
That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. Who gets their people.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay, buddy.
Got a rock and roll coming up at 3 o'clock, news, weather, and then Denise Kolpak will join us next. Jay Thomas Show. Well, you're going old school, buddy. I love it. Zombies?
No. Well, this one's a Santana version. Yeah.
Hey, North Dakota, Minnesota, summer's heating up at all PetroServe USA locations. Join the free PetroServe USA Rewards Program. Get 5 cents off every gallon. You know, I saw, boy, I'll tell you, the gas dropped over the weekend. I was at petrol this morning. It was 369 or 363, something like that.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I can't believe I feel good about $3.60-some-cent gas. My God, man. Even more savings during June at PetroServe USA. Buy 2 20-ounce Coke products, get one free. 2 for $3 Johnsonville beef hot dogs, plus killer deals on Cheez-Its, Pringles, Red Bull, deli burritos, and more for those road trips. Download the app or sign up in store. PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. All right. So tomorrow is we're gonna find out tomorrow when it comes to who's the mayor of Fargo, who sits on the commission. Same thing out. Well, we know the mayor is West Fargo. We'll find out who sits on our commission out there and some other things. Denise Kolpak is the only one who hasn't been on my program yet, and I wanted to give everybody time on the show. And Denise joins us now in studio. How you doing, Denise? Welcome to the Jay Thomas Show.
Thanks for having me, Jay. It's great to be here.
And I'll be friendly.
Yeah, okay. So will I.
All right, fantastic. So, Denise, before we get into, you know, just start talking about Fargo and and your race, for folks that don't know, I mean, let's get a. You and I were talking off air. I mean, you're tied to gas and oil.
I am. Well, car, a station.
Right. Yeah.
My dad was a mechanic and a tow truck driver for
how
years.
How cool is that, man?
Super cool.
And then didn't you grow up on an airbase?
I was born on Norton Air Force Base, California.
Okay.
My dad was in Vietnam and the Philippines.
Wow.
He was a mechanic for the Air Force. And then after that, both my parents became members of the sheriff's department. My mom was a deputy. My dad was a sheriff. My mom worked in the jail. She was a tiny little thing.
Where was your dad sheriff at?
San Bernardino.
Oh, that's not a small.
So your dad
was the sheriff of San Bernardino County?
One of the sheriffs.
One of them. Oh, yeah. They have multiple sheriffs?
Yes. With the sheriff's department.
Wow.
And my mom was a deputy sheriff. In the jail. And then my dad became chief of police in Northwood. That's how we ended up back in the Midwest. My parents grew up in East Grand Forks. So we made our way back to East Grand Forks, and that's when my dad opened the station, a mobile station on the point there, and I worked many, many a long summer day in the station cleaning cars and pumping gas.
You still love that smell, don't
I
you?
Love that smell.
I know
it's so weird about me, but you smell and it brings you right back.
I know.
There's nothing like it.
I know. Like I'll open up the garage on a hot summer day, and the smell of that of my Camaro and the gas and the oil, I love it. Or I'll go into the, because I've got an addition on the garage so I keep all the garden stuff. I'll open that up and I can smell the lawnmower gas. It's
exactly.
Just, it smells great,
no,
man.
No, it just brings you right back.
That's a good topic, Ron. I have to do that on a Friday. Smells that just, I don't want to say turn you on, but smells that you just absolutely love. That people go, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, man? Or in California, smells you'll never smell again.
Right. Yeah. We had smog days growing up there.
Oh, man.
We had stayed home from school.
Yeah. I remember I worked in radio out there in the mid-80s in L.A., and I remember experiencing my first earthquake, too. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
It freaked me out. I was a small one, but, boy, does it freak you out. You feel that earth moving and rumbling. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So your dad was the police chief in Northwood, North Dakota?
Right.
The only golf course I ever got kicked off for life.
Really? For life?
For life, yeah.
Oh, that sounds like a great story,
Yeah,
Jake.
That was years ago. I can't golf. I'm just not a golf fan, but my buddy convinced me, come on, let's go golf, and cussing and swearing and shanking balls. And I got multiple warnings that said, you know what? You're done here for life. Don't ever show up on it. And I just kind of looked, said, thank you. Thank you. So, let's talk about you now.
Sure.
Well, let's walk us through your, you went to college?
Yep. I'm a University of North Dakota graduate. It took me a little while to get through, but I did. And from college, I moved to Bismarck. And, you know, I have 4 decades. My background's marketing, public relations, and policy and political science. And so I've spent 4 decades leading and managing organizations and people, and 3 decades as a lobbyist and worked on policy.
Well, you were Blue Cross Blue Shield for years.
16 years there. Yeah, that's where I retired in 2022. I was executive director of the North Dakota Newspaper Association.
Man.
I was there for 7 years and first executive director of the North Dakota Water Coalition. And then United Blood Services moved me to Fargo when I was regional marketing director for them, and they consolidated. And that's how I ended up back in Fargo.
How were you tied to the newspaper industry?
So that was my first job out of college. I was started as our ad manager, and then when the executive director position opened up, I applied, and I did that for 5 years, and that's one of the positions when I was a lobbyist. So I know a lot about open meetings, open records. Mm-hmm. That was our focus then, and we were very successful working both sides of the aisle. I've been an independent my entire life. I still am. I've not been active in either political party, never been a member of either, and I'm proud of that. And
let me bring up, because I know you've been pushing that a lot, and a lot of people have been pushing you as saying, no, you're a Democrat or you're liberal. And they bring up, well, you worked for Heidi Heitkamp's campaign.
I did, because she was attorney general when I was at the newspaper.
Okay.
And that's how I got to know her, because she was attorney general. And so I just really respected Heidi, and apparently a lot of other North Dakotans did too, since she was a senator for us. But that's the only political campaign I've worked on. It was about Heidi, and we're still friends to this day. But after that, I wasn't active again in the party. And in fact, political party approached me for this race to be their endorsed candidate, and I turned him down over a year
ago.
Yep.
I said, no, not doing it.
No, it's a nonpartisan race, and I stand by that.
We've talked about this before with other candidates, and it seems though at the local level that politics has become so emboldened into every aspect of our life, which sucks. That even the you know local closest to the people political races seem to be political now.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate in my opinion. You know, the decisions that we make as a commission, and certainly in the mayor being the chair of the board, really have nothing to do with partisan politics. It's things about infrastructure. It's decisions about policy. It's about budgeting. It's about managing a team of people, which makes up 76% of our general operating fund. It's about public safety. It's about representing every Fargoan. And I just take that to heart.
Denise, why did you jump into politics? Because I remember when you ran for the commission seat, and I actually had you on my show. We were out at the Country Club in Horace.
That's right. I remember that.
And man,
vividly.
People, I mean, the calls were crazy. People were like, holy smokes, man. And next thing you know, boom, you're a commissioner, deputy mayor. What made you decide that I'm going to get off the couch and I really want to jump into this crazy world?
Yeah, so it's quite a story actually, but I've always been interested in public service, but my job's always prohibited it, especially because most are partisan. But right before my mom passed away, we had our heart to hearts one-on-one, and she said, Denise, you have to promise me 2 things. And she died 2 weeks later.
Oh, wow.
She said, number one, you need to retire early from Blue Cross, because we had just gotten through COVID and it was grueling. And I'd been there for 16 years and I was in a position where I could retire early, thankfully. And secondly, you need to run for office. And so I told her I would, and I didn't know this at the time. She left me $10,000 to run for that city commission race when she died.
And you didn't know that?
I didn't know that until...
And was it specifically that, honey, this is only for running for office? That had to be a shocker.
It was so emotional. I can talk about it now without crying, but it took me about 2 years to be able to tell that story and not break down.
That's crazy. Wow. Yeah. So yeah, mom really wanted you involved locally.
Yeah, and I've always been involved in boards and commissions and organizations, but this is a different level, and it's really about service to community. Coming from a military and a law enforcement family, it's part of who I am.
701-293-9000 if you got a question for candidate for Fargo Mayor, Denise Colbeck, current commission, by the way, and deputy mayor. All right, what's the biggest challenge facing Fargo over the next 5 years, Denise?
You know, obviously our budgeting. Mm-hmm. You know, with the 3% cap, with the challenges of inflation and the cost of everything, and everyone right now is struggling with costs.
Yeah.
How are we going to manage that strategically? And I really want to take a different approach. Number one, introduce zero-based budgeting, which means every year we start from zero and every department builds their budget. But secondly, we have to be clear as a cabinet, that being the director of every department, of what are the strategic priorities for the city for the next 5 to 10 years and have a rolling strategy. That's how we did it at Blue Cross. That's how we did it at the organizations I led. You have to stay ahead of the issues and know what your priorities are. What's so important there, Jay, is you also have to know what to say no to as part of those priorities, yeah. Right? And so taking a very strategic approach on how we plan for the future. You know, some of these decisions, for instance, in technology, once you make them, you're locked in.
Yeah.
And especially with software as a service now being kind of a contract forever, not really having control over those costs, it's really important to have a thoughtful conversation and be intentional about those decisions.
You know, you said, Denise, you got to know what to say no to.
Right.
Is your time in office, is there something that stands out to you to this day that you're like, That should have been a hard no from the beginning?
Well, I'll tell you, every budget cycle, I mean, the first year as a commissioner, you kind of get a pass because the budget's
You're learning.
Yeah. But I have really dug in since all 3 years and worked with not only my five departments, but understood the budget. And every department every year brings forward the need for more people.
Yeah.
Because without people, you don't have services. And not other than public safety, we haven't improved any position since I've been there. We've said no every year.
Oh, wow.
So we're a growing city. You know that,
yep.
Right? We've gone 20% in the last 20.
Rapidly.
And so how do you keep up with infrastructure and deliver the services the people expect and need? And that starts with the people. And I can tell you that there is no fluff there when it comes to the people we have working for the city of Fargo. This year, we just had a consideration for a new development. And the decision was based on the fact that we'd have to hire 2 more people in public works to manage the snow. And it didn't pass. So that's where we are. That's how thinly staffed the city of Fargo is for a growing city. And then you have on top of it our capital improvement needs, our infrastructure, all of the technology, which I do think we do have some opportunity to take a hard look at. You know, we went through an optimization of all technology when I was at Blue Cross. Mm-hmm. There are savings and efficiencies you can find in that space.
You know, we're talking about growth and, you know, Fargo is growing fast, just like West Fargo as well.
Right.
And, you know, I always, we hear, well, if we grow, we got, you know, that's more tax dollars coming in. But I look at it as, is it really from a perspective that, okay, if you grow, that's more streets, that's more
right.
people, that means that's
more
street work, more service, more police. Are you really coming ahead?
Right. And with the 3% cap, it's a challenge, Jay.
How scary is that 3% cap, Denise?
Well, you know, I will say this. So another initiative and priority for me is building solid relationships with both sides of the aisle with our area legislators. And we need to have serious conversations. And the city has not done a good enough job, in my opinion, of bringing along our legislators on these issues, so that we all really understand what the priorities are and what the issues are and where the challenges are. And when this last legislative session got done, and I was one of the legislative liaisons out there in Bismarck working on behalf of the citizens, mm-hmm. these last 2 sessions, the legislators were the first to say, we know this is a starting point, mm-hmm. right? We had to pick a number,
yep.
which I totally get. The $1,600 rebate is very important to people. I supported that the entire time. But let's come back and have a good conversation about what is reasonable. Do we tie it to, cost of living index? Do we tie it to inflation? Do we tie it to what, right? So let's have that conversation. That needs to continue.
Residents concerned about rising property taxes. That's nothing new. Special assessments. And you hear from candidates, again, whether it's Fargo, West Fargo, it'd be Grand Forks, doesn't matter. They hear the same thing. You know, hey, these specials are killing us. These property taxes are killing us. What can the city realistically do to provide relief?
So six to seven years ago, a task force did come together to take a look at special assessments, and some significant changes were made for infill, for brownfield development areas, things like my neighborhood, the Jefferson neighborhood. They inverted what used to be a 70% paid by citizen to 30% paid by city to a 70% paid by city to 30%.
Yeah, flipped it.
They flipped it. And that made a significant difference. We're not hearing from the citizens like we were before that point. Now, green space is a different issue. Right now, we're looking at all of that as part of our growth plan and our associated land development code work. The incentive committees are taking a look at what could that look like. But, mm-hmm. you know, the reality is it's the system that we have. The debt is there. I will share that, you know, as you know, special assessments follow the property. The city has less than a 1% default rate on that because it does follow the property. So it's not like that debt debt isn't covered and isn't managed. But with this new growth, which will be very intentional, including more density, as we know we're going to be limited by the land that we have left,
yeah.
What do those incentives look like in the future? And that's being looked at right now.
Real quick, you brought up debt. We hear it a lot, $1.3 billion in debt. And, you know, the citizens are that scares the hell out of them. Candidates saying this is very bad. A city our size should not be in that much debt. But I believe in your ad, you're saying, look, we're fine.
Well, because we know how we're paying for all the five buckets of debt. We know we have different revenue sources associated to each one of those five buckets. And, you know, as some of this debt is paid off, that infrastructure is done. That debt will be paid off. You know, we've done a lot when you look at the city. You know, Jay, when I moved here, I lived on 58th Avenue South 26 years ago. That was one of the last streets in Fargo at the time. 26 years ago.
I've been here. I moved here in 95 or 96.
Yeah, look at the growth.
That's crazy.
In the last 25 years, right?
It's nuts. Well, look out even West Fargo. I mean, it used to be.
This is such a good view to see it, too.
Yeah.
I know.
None of this was here.
Exactly. None of it was here. But now all this infrastructure is here.
Exactly.
And that's debt. Every year, our capital improvement plan is an $80 to $100 million investment we make. Those are bonds we take out, but we know how we're paying them back. You know, our $330 million, that's a bucket that's for utilities. Mm-hmm. We've regionalized our utilities. It's a revenue stream for us, but you know exactly how we're paying for that. Utility rates and the Bank of North Dakota 2% funding, right? We know how we're paying every single line item. And it's just like, I know I've used this analogy now, probably ad nauseum, but when you buy a house for $350,000, you don't go to the bank and give them $350,000 you borrow. Mm-hmm. But you know how you're going to pay it. You know how you're going to pay your utilities. You know what your income is like. You know what your personal budget is, and you know you can do it.
Is there anything that could happen to the city of Fargo where you can't make that mortgage payment?
No. Not right now. We know exactly. Every single one of the buckets, we have a revenue source, and we know how we're paying it.
701-293-9000. Speaking of the resources coming in, I had one of the commission candidates on the program last week, and he was talking about, in this stuff, this gets kind of deep in the weeds because I don't really understand how this works, but maybe you can explain it. Scott Brecky, actually, is who the candidate was. Hang on, callers, and I'll get to the emails, too. He was saying that he was digging into the numbers and he was talking, and I don't have them right in front of me, but he was saying, why is like the Civic, why is the city of Fargo paying, like, I think it's like $63,000 on specials on the Civic Center. Why isn't the city paying this stuff off? Because we're paying interest. So the taxpayers are paying interest on a special payment.
I still haven't. I heard that number two, and I don't have the background, but I absolutely can find that out. I haven't had time to look into that specific issue, but and I don't know if that's the correct number either.
Okay.
Frankly, Jay.
Because then he said, too, that the city had just sold some land for $9 million and that money was going to go into a
That went to the bottom line in our general operating fund because that's part of the reserves that we have to have in order to be a safe city, which goes back to the Moody's rating and keep it where it is.
And that was what I acquired. So, well, why, if you had done $9 million, couldn't the city have at least take a chunk of that and, hey, let's pay off these specials so we're not paying interest on this, on, you know, this project, and you're still going to still have millions in the bank.
Right. But again, it goes back to what the priorities are. And right now, I can tell you one of the priorities that was very clear as part of the last couple of audits, frankly, from Brady Martz, or I think it was Brady Martz who did our last audit. Sorry about that. I'm part of a number of organizations. We just went through a number of audits. But our priority right now is getting that reserve level back up after COVID.
Okay. Andy, thanks for hanging on. You're up on the Jay Thomas Show with Denise Kolpak. Go ahead.
Jay, you kind of touched on it a little bit at the end. This is kind of a general observation, but a comment to what she said is, yes, just because a family goes and gets a loan for $350,000 on a house, doesn't matter that we're house broke. We can't be house broke. The city of Fargo, we're way too big, and we're spending way too much money. Just because we know how we're going to pay for it, we're back in the corner. And I feel the citizens of Fargo are so fed up with the constant increase in everything. When are we going to pull the reins back and live within our means? And just like Jay said, let's buy down our debt instead of spending more. Just because we know how to cover our current debt doesn't mean we have the ability to go pay for it more. What happens if something changes in the future? Just a general observation. I think that metaphor is incorrect, in my opinion.
Thanks for the question, Andy. And I'll answer it this way, if I may, Jay.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, the relative to the size of the budget, the city of Fargo's always had debt because you don't save your way to a $150 million upgrade to the water treatment plant. You just don't. You borrow. But what we have been able to do by being very thoughtful in where we've chosen to make those investments is, number one, a couple of those are now revenue sources forever for the city of Fargo. Once we get those paid off, they're paid off. Water reclamation, same thing. We also are getting revenues from economic development activities as part of water reclamation and water treatment. And so we've been very thoughtful in where we choose to invest in that debt. It goes back to you're not going to save your way to a $100 million capital improvement plan each year. You just don't have the funding. I think a really big question for the citizens to think about is, what is the appetite to build up that reserve level and what is the right range there? When I was at Blue Cross Blue Shield, we had a range of reserves that was part of staying safe, you know, in healthcare, right? You have to have a reserve level, just like the city has a reserve level. And right now what we're being told, because of the changes that have been made to the Moody's and how they calculate reserves, it has to all be unrestricted reserves. Where before, if you had money in the bank, even though it was earmarked for another debt service line item, you could count it. You can't do that anymore.
Oh, you can.
So it has to be unrestricted, which means to citizens of Fargo, do you want us to have $80 million in reserves sitting there so that we go up one more rating in Moody's? Or is the range of 25% reasonable for you, knowing we're still safe? And so those are questions we should be talking about, bringing the public along, but those have real implications. And the way that some of this debt has been talked about, those are some conversations we need to have.
All right. More with current Fargo City Commissioner and Deputy Mayor Denise Kolpak, running for the mayor of Fargo. When we come back, you get questions, 701-293-9000, email studio at wdayradionow.com. I'll get to these emails. They're piling up. We'll talk public safety. We'll talk leadership. We'll talk Denise's vision. Yeah, and I get some more stuff to throw her way when we come back. 701-293-9000, email studio at wdayradionow.com. Jay Thomas Show. 337 Jay Thomas Show. That's a custom truck and auto shine time check. CustomTruckAndAutoShine.biz, that's their website. You find them at 3401 4th Avenue south of Fargo, one block south of Swanston Equipment. Core services include auto body shop, auto detailing. They do mobile and heavy equipment cleaning, mobile wash services, on-site washing for farm equipment, construction equipment, fleet vehicles. They'll do semi-truck detailing. They also have specialty and add-on services. So get a hold of the crew over there at Custom Truck and Auto Shine. 338 now. Mayoral candidate, City of Fargo, Denise Kolpak, current sitting city commissioner and deputy mayor. Must see TV tonight or no?
No, it's
no.
Very
so I don't
short
have to,
agenda.
I don't have to rush home tonight.
In fact, it's the shortest agenda I've ever seen.
How short is it?
It's three items, including liaison report.
That's it.
I think Commissioner Pepcorn pulled one item off about an address change paperwork, but that's it. And no one signed up for public comments tonight either.
Wow.
That never happens.
Man. All right. Not must-see TV tonight.
No, really boring.
Maybe next summer.
That's my goal, by the way, is to make sure all meetings are boring again.
So. Well, see, no, because I love. It's like, come on. To this day, I still give Pepcorn grief. He still says he'd flip off Gehrig. It's like, so full of it, dude.
Let's go to the video.
Yeah, let's
kind
go to the video.
Kind of hard when it's on video.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's go to the video shot, Dave. 701-293-9000, email studio at wdayradionow.com. Some emails, win or lose, Denise Kolpak ran a classy and respectful campaign. She doesn't bicker and insult people on Facebook, and that is refreshing in these toxic political times. Have a great day, everyone.
Well, thank you. I've really focused on that. I think we can be respectful and disagree on things.
Another one, Denise Kolpak is the best choice for Fargo. She's honest, has integrity, knows her deputy mayor job well, doesn't go after people for disagreeing with her opinions, and no baggage or political cult of personality. Denise Kolpak is good for Fargo. She has my vote. Let's see. When I bring it up, that the specials on the Civic Center.
Yeah, I guess I need to do my homework on that.
Yeah, I guess Scott got that from Angie Bear via the open records request.
Okay.
That's where those numbers came from.
Thank you.
Let's see. I've got news for Fargo. You're never going to get out of debt. Liberals run the town now. Your homeless population will continue to grow. Just the facts. Not all growth is good, but the city will never figure that out. Let's talk about the homeless. I guess that can kind of come with public safety on that realm of things. What do we need to do? I'm not a resident of Fargo, but I work here and I spend my money here. And mm-hmm. This homeless situation that Fargo has, I think the city's too involved. I'm not saying the city shouldn't be involved, but I think the city is just too involved in it. It just the city has got to let the nonprofits handle this thing.
So that's the model of this resource and recovery center models. We're bringing in more groups. The space was designed to have the right services in the right way, connecting people to services, but letting them do what they do well and what they do best, leveraging state and federal grant and dollars for this problem. This is a national problem across the country. Mm-hmm. It needs some kind of a convener, though. You can't just say nonprofits, go fix the problem. Bloomberg has proved that over and over and over again in the cities where they've addressed and made a difference in this area. You need someone who convenes the right people at the table, and I do think that is the role of the city, working with our area legislators again, back to that point.
My concern, and I brought this up during this last legislative session, I know the city or groups, they wanted state funds to help this problem. And my thought on it was watch what you ask for and wish for, because my thought on it was if Fargo got millions of dollars from the state, then the state is going to look at Fargo and say, you know what, you're taking the homeless people. If they're coming from Bismarck, they're coming from here, it's your problem now. We gave you money, so Fargo, you're going to deal with this now. And I didn't want that to happen. And we know that's been going on because we've had people call this show, many different people that worked in with homeless and organizations from other cities around the state saying, yeah, we just pick them on a bus and send them to Fargo.
Well, I can tell you, as North Dakota's largest city and being the regional leader that we are, we will continue to be attract people where the most services are. But then how do we effectively manage those services? How do we strategically plan long term to solve the core issues here? How do we get people to the right care? How do we work with our state and Department of Health and Human Services, who's very interested in how we pilot this new model at the Resource and Recovery Center? So data is going to be important. We have to prove that this model can work with real data and facts, and then go back and work hand in glove with the state and the Department of Health and Human Services to address these core issues and these problems. You know, and this problem doesn't have one silver bullet, Jay. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a complex problem that needs many complex solutions for it. Some will include working more closely with the nonprofits. Some will require us to have a better working relationship with our area legislators to understand the issues, but really get to the root cause here. Some of it is around public safety, and you know, not everyone who's causing some of the bad behavior downtown is homeless, mm-hmm. and vice versa, right? No. I mean, and a lot of people often can conflate the two. And when we have bad behaviors, those need to be addressed in the right way. And I've always supported that. I come from a law enforcement family.
Well, the problem with the bad behavior being addressed, people will put that bad behavior somewhat on the city or the police, and that's not where you put it. The police are doing their job.
Yeah.
It's the court system. It's the state lawmakers. It's the ridiculous fines. It's the low bails, letting people out. I hear it from police all the time. It's like, we'll arrest somebody and they're back out on the street, and we cannot believe that they're back out on the street that fast. And usually if we nail them again, every time we nail them, the crime gets worse. But that's not the police. That's the courts.
Well, and it goes back to relationships, too. And we're already seeing a difference here in approach with Chief Stefanowicz and his leadership team, mm-hmm. frankly. We just had a meeting last week with some downtown business owners. I meet with them regularly. I have for 4 years. But they've seen a marked change since he took over in presence downtown, in changes downtown. And that's going to continue. And I will add, Chief Cebulski was brought in very intentionally to do a job 6 years ago when he was brought here to make some change, to add technology, to focus on wellness. It was during COVID, to get more police officers in the cars and out there. And we, unlike a lot of police departments across the country, we are fully staffed at the levels we should be. We do attract and retain police officers here now. A lot of those technology changes help that. But now you're going to see a different approach with some steady leadership under Chief Stefanowicz in how we now maintain what was built. And his focus, I can tell you very much, and I know he's been very public, Jay.
Oh, yeah, he's on the show actually Thursday. He'll be in
awesome.
Here.
is about relationships across the board. State's attorney, sheriff's department, right? Legislators, all of it.
Well, and I'm going to pull no punches, and I never have. I thought Chief Cebulski was an absolutely horrible police chief. I thought that guy didn't have a clue what the hell he was doing. I just did not like the man. When word got out that I think he was so far over his head. When it came out, I remember I was out filming. I was out of town filming, and my phone just starts blowing up. I'm like, what the heck's going on? I better check my phone. And it was just like this sense of relief came over me because I had so many officers that I knew that spent years with the Fargo PD. Now, some retired just because, hey, it's time to retire, but there are a lot that left because of his leadership. They just could not take it. I think Chief Stefanowicz is going to be absolutely fantastic for this city, and it's well, you said you're already seeing a difference in people downtown. Has he added more foot patrol downtown?
He's changing how we're staffing in general, mm-hmm. and focusing on areas where, you know, some of this we'll try, right? But yeah. His leadership team is very much engaged. He has a different approach about kind of letting his leadership team do the work and do the job. Everything doesn't have to go through him. Yeah. And his communication style, I think, is a little different as well. And so those are some of the things you're already seeing a change in. And I can tell you what the first thing he did when he was intern chief was he reached out directly to every single commissioner. Mm-hmm. We had conversations. I met with him several times.
No.
I did before, but I mean, that's who he is. And he cares about Fargo. No. And
he knows Fargo.
He does know Fargo.
And that's important.
He does know Fargo.
And it's also sent a good message that, look, you can work your way up the ranks and
right.
become the chief of police.
Right.
Let's see. Robert, thanks for hanging on. You're up on a Jay Thomas Show. Denise Kolpak.
Yes. Hi there, Denise.
Hello.
Hi, Joe. Jay. Say, I got a question regarding, for me, probably the number one issue, there's a lot of good issues you're talking about, but is crime, is preventing crime.
Okay.
I want to see young kids walking at night at 10 o'clock at night, just free as can be. I don't want to have them living in fear. I've seen the power of a mayor. I know down in Minneapolis, I know that's out of state, but I saw what he's done to that city with starting with preventing the police from doing their job, from turning that George Floyd into a racism comment within an hour of when it took place. He was on the air saying that it was racism. Then Senator Klobuchar gets on the air, it's racism, on down the line. I'm wondering, and then 6 years later, he's not cooperating with ICE. Mm-hmm. And if you become mayor, mm-hmm. will you cooperate with ICE? And if they want to come and get somebody, will you say yes instead of allowing what happened in Minneapolis?
Well, North Dakota has a statute. Oh, excuse me, sir. Were you done? I cut you off, I think.
Go ahead. I might have a response.
Oh, sure. Thank you. North Dakota has a...
Will you cooperate with police is my question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or with the federal government. I'm
okay.
sorry.
All right.
North Dakota has a statute that's very clear here that we cannot interfere with ICE. And so that's already in statute that was passed last legislative session, I think, Jay.
I think it was, yeah.
With that. And so that's already in code and codified. And so that would be very much what we would follow. And I come from a law enforcement family. I've always supported police. You know, we're being very intentional after the 70% vote on the public safety sales tax and how we spend those funds. Our first priority for fire, who did all the work to get that passed, was for salaries. Mm-hmm. We addressed that. We're addressing that. Police, it was people and more police officers. And every year we're looking at how we add to that. 2 years ago, we added 6 traffic safety police officers and 8 firefighters for the new fire station number 8. So we have been continuing to increase the public safety presence. But I will say, you know, and that's wonderful. We have those funds, especially right now with this cap. But we need to look across the board as a growing city. I know we've had several departments who have brought every year requests for new staff because we're a growing city that have not been approved. And people are really struggling with not adding people year after year after year in other departments as well to provide those services. And that's all, as you know, all connected. But I would certainly honor and work with the entire cabinet, including public safety.
Robert, appreciate the phone call. I hate to cut you off.
Thank you.
But Ronnie's telling me my ear only have 5 minutes left. Email says, this comes from former law enforcement officer
okay.
in the city of Fargo for many years. The problem with downtown is it's dangerous at nighttime. It's a cultural problem. Some of these groups of younger adults view firearms as a solution to a problem, or where fists used to be involved, now they shoot at each other. Maybe one possible idea, although it will be a financial strain, is to go back to closing the bars at 1 a.m. on Friday and Saturdays. Is that ever... what he's asking is that something that could be looked at?
Absolutely. I support looking at all those solutions, and he's absolutely right. Bar closure time is when a lot of these incidents yep. just happened this weekend again.
Yeah, there was a bunch of women, wasn't it?
It was a woman they arrested. Yeah. We know that for sure.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I remember our son Ty back when he was in his 20s. He would send me video footage of the bars closing at night because he'd hang out there with his buddies. And he's just like, it's like, this is crazy.
Yeah, let's start with, you know, again, number one, let's be honest about what the issues are and mm-hmm. have a conversation with community about what to community and how do we really seriously involve community and community policing. I have said this before. I think one of the issues we're also struggling with is over these last couple of years is the erosion of public trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's across the country, I think. For Jay, a number of reasons you were saying before we even started this interview, right? But how do we bring government to the people and have a conversation? I want to start quarterly community forums, different times of the day, different parts of the city, and have every 3 months a conversation with community about what are the issues you want to talk about, have staff there to actually answer questions. I'll close with this, that right now one of the most awkward parts of every commission meeting is listening to the public comment, not being able to respond.
Yeah.
It can be really awkward, right?
Yeah, because you guys
especially
can't.
If you want to either say, you know, answer the question so mm-hmm. they know what the answer is, so they feel like they're informed. But that is, I
can
I
you
wish
change
we,
that?
We could change it. That's my answer, is having community forums where it truly is a back and forth dialogue.
All right, lightning round. We got about 3 minutes left. Where are you at, Denise? Needle exchange program, yay or nay?
Well, the data, we're going to agree to disagree on
this
one,
are.
I think, Jay. I think
get rid of it.
The data, first of all, it's paid for by opioid settlement yep. funds, not tax dollars. And secondly, it has resulted in people 5 times more likely to connect to services and help and 3 times more likely to quit altogether. But it's also reduced hepatitis C transmission by 70% since 2018.
But when we hear that 70%, how many cases is that? Is that like, okay, we've
no,
we've
it's been a pretty
three cases.
No. It's been a pretty significant drop. So I can get you those numbers.
Yeah, get them, because we can't just seem to get them numbers.
I'll get them.
Okay. Please get that. Downtown or
Convention
Brujala?
Convention Center.
Convention Center.
For the financial. I've been very consistent on that. I'm not trying to be evasive.
No,
here.
You are, because I watch the meetings and you're like, until I see the financial
on
it.
That's our number one job, is to look at the finances first.
When is Fargo going to follow West Fargo and allow fireworks, especially since it's our nation's birthday?
Well, especially since they're happening anyway.
Exactly.
Great question, caller. Bring it to a commissioner. Let's have a conversation.
I was going to say, I live off 40th Avenue, and the last 4th of July, it sounded like a night in downtown Lebanon.
You should see Jefferson neighborhood
yeah.
where I live.
Oh, it's
unbelievable.
But it's, in West Fargo, it's fantastic because people follow the rule. Come
right.
midnight, boom, they're basically done. They you know, they got it out of their system.
Yeah.
Denise, you got about, 50 seconds, right?
Yeah.
Talk to the listeners. What do you want to tell them?
Well, thanks, first of all, for having me on. I love Fargo. I truly do. I've lived here for 26 years, and my job as mayor is to make sure everyone loves it as much as I do, and I will be that kind of mayor. I'll work for every Fargoan, regardless of political party. And you can learn out more about me at colpackforfargo.com.
There you go. Denise, thanks for coming in.
Thanks
wasn't
for
that bad.
Me. No, not at
wasn't
all.
Wasn't that bad.
I enjoyed it, Jay. Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming in here. All right, coming up on 4 o'clock, Dave with you, running for West Fargo City Commission seat. He's going to join us next, Jay Thomas Show. Boy, I'm telling you, the Weather Channel, then you got the Fox Weather Channel as well. And it is not looking good for us tomorrow night. here in the Red River Valley. They are upping this severe weather threat to very likely with 75 plus mile an hour winds. Oof. And very large hail.
Batten down the hatches.
The Torcon is what they call it. The threat of tornadoes. They bumped us up to a 5.
Is that the top of
I think it goes up to 10.
Oh, good.
So
good.
We're okay. getting, but they keep upping this.
Well, 50% is not good either, I
no,
guess.
No, it's but, not, yeah. not at all. Hey, Boss Skaggs, by the way, yeah, thanks for playing him. He's 82 years old today.
Yeah,
buddy. Yeah, and don't play her. Singer Nancy Sinatra's 86. She only had one song,
These Boots are made for walking.
It's not a bad song. Yeah. So there you go. Oh, and I didn't know this. Also, Sturgill Simpson is 48 today.
Yes. Got a lot of mentions in the TV series Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Sturgill Simpson, yeah.
Sure did. Chef Mike's team at Maxwell's makes everything from scratch and delivers tender, mouth-watering flavor. Their beef tenderloin, the Chilean sea bass, the North American elk tenderloin, which I swear by. Just to name a few items on their menu. Of course, you know I love the seared ahi tuna. I love that stuff. Yeah, and also they have a chef who devotes 100% of her time to just doing the desserts, like chocolate lava cake, ice cream made right there at Maxwell's, and delicious cheesecake.
Le pastry chef.
what else wrong with you, Pat? Alex and I, we love Maxwell's out in West Fargo. Perfect place for business, dinner, or group to celebrate your special occasion. Great setting for client meetings and client entertaining. Make reservations online at maxwellsnd.com or stop in to experience Maxwell's yourself. Also, they have the nicest damn bathrooms on the planet. I'm not kidding, Dave, with you. Have you been to Maxwell's?
We haven't.
Oh, God, the food. Here's the thing. Everybody thinks, well, I got to dress up to go. You don't. You can there be guy near the three-piece suit on next to a guy wearing bib overhauls. It's just, it's a great, you got to go. And now they got the Max Burger. That thing is unbelievable, man.
See, there'll be the, you gave them ammunition now. Tomorrow it'll be on Facebook. Dave Withey's never been to Maxwell.
Yeah, exactly. And he wants to be a commissioner.
Yeah,
he's never been to Maxwell.
Yeah, right?
What the hell's with this guy?
I say that in good fun.
Of course we do. Out to Audubon, Craig J. Thomas Show.
Hey, gentlemen, just flipped on the radio, and right next to me on Interstate is the Dominator Tornado Machine.
Oh, God. The, what's, Russ, what's his name? I can't think of that dude.
I don't remember.
Tim or whatever? Reed Timmer.
Right next to me, right at, just literally sitting there in stop-and-go traffic on 94 going into Moorhead, and he's right next to me.
I should hunt that dude down. I should film that thing for an episode on Rides for Under the, because we do the unique vehicle segment.
It is on wheels and can be bolted down, I'm told. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they drill screws into the ground,
Looks like a big old snail right next to me, you know?
But, do it just to upset our chief meteorologist, Dean Wysocki, because he's just not a fan, man. Oh, man. All right.
Dominator 3, it says on the side.
That's not good. Thanks for the heads up, Craig. That's like having, what's his name?
Jim Cantore in town.
Yeah, Jim Cantore shows up from the Weather Channel, batting down the hatches. Yeah. We got problems, man. All right, Mr. Withey, how are you doing, sir?
I'm marvelous. It's Monday.
Oh, hold on. I got to talk to Stacy. Then we'll hook up here. Valley News Live Rundown. We're going to hook up with Stacy Van Dyke. Hello, Stacy.
Hello.
Well, you just
derailing your
you just
thing, sorry.
You just heard from a listener. He's sitting right next to the Dominator in traffic.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow's going to be kind of crazy, I think.
Yeah, I had Russ on earlier doing a weather shot for us at 2 o'clock, and it didn't sound good. I keep the Weather Channel on one of my TVs in, here in the studio, and I'll flip between that and Fox Weather, too, and they're really focusing on us, and they just keep upping this weather for tomorrow. Not good.
No.
What else is going on? What are you guys working on tonight?
Well, beside from that, we're working on... We tried to talk to Mahoney ahead of the primary tomorrow, and he denied us.
Okay. All right.
So that's fun. We have a piece on C'Andre Douglas was in court, new counsel for him. Bobby went to Castleton. Some batteries are catching fire. We have Harrison is doing a story on some new nicotine supplement that's making the rounds. And Courtney is focusing on tick season and how awful it is in town.
Yeah, I'm hearing from a lot of people. They're having tick issues. And you don't want to get bit by a bad tick. That does not turn out well. What's K-Fire got?
KFIRE has a primary voting how-to talking about how it's the one-party primary for people who are new to North Dakota elections. They had two adorable things about veterans. One vet surprise that we know nothing about. That'll be in our 6 o'clock. It's a surprise to us, too. The other one about this veteran, World War II vet, who's turning 100 today.
Wow.
And so his birthday party, they have a piece on that. They also have all kinds of storm coverage from last night when they got hit.
Yeah.
Apparently, their craziest thing about that was in Oliver County, there were like loose bolts on the wind turbines.
Oh,
like,
no. That's not good.
So, yeah.
All right. Not to mention the, what was it, baseball size hail by Medora, the 98 mile an hour straight winds out there, possible tornado. And we might need to be batting down the hatches tomorrow. I believe when I talked to Russ, he said, look for right around that, 8 to maybe 11 time frame for us here. So. Let's hope that all changes, but it ain't looking good. All right, Stacy, as always, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Those stories are more tonight, 5:30 and 6. You get Valley News Live here on 970 WDAY Radio. For you folks that are listening to my program out in central western North Dakota on 1090 The Flag, you can check out KFIRE TV tonight. For all the latest news and weather. Dave with, oh, by the way, the Valley News Live Rundown brought to you by Warehouse Wonders. Quality finds at unbeatable prices. Find them on Facebook. You'll also find them in the Industrial Park in Moorhead. Open, by the way, 7 days a week, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And right now, what they're pushing is, I guess this is the hottest thing, boho-style lighting. That's short for Bohemian. I guess this stuff is just absolutely beautiful. Instead of the clean lines of modern design or the cold feel of industrial fixtures, Boho lights focus on organic texture, soft ambiance, and a handcrafted look.
Well, shut the front door.
Well, exactly. Shut the duh. And tons of smoke and carbon monoxide detectors now in stock, plus all the regulars from big box stores to the public at major discounts. Appliances, discounts on retail pricing, ceiling fans, light fixtures, indoor-outdoor shower headsets, towel bars, wiring, home security essentials, faucets for the kitchen or bathroom, Pfister, Kohler, Moen. Buy by the pallet at unbelievable prices. Go check them out, Warehouse Wonders. All right, now let's get to it. As a member of West Fargo's TAP, Citizens for Transparency, Accountability, and Professionalism, for the last 3 years, my next guest, Mr. David Withey, wants to be a West Fargo City Commissioner. Why, buddy? Why do you want to get into this?
I get asked that question a lot.
I bet you do.
Yeah. You know, my father-in-law was in politics in Minnesota.
Okay.
So my wife was like, hey, you really don't want to do this. But after spending 3 years of addressing a number of different issues, especially in the budget, I just realized that they can be very polite when you talk to them. Mm-hmm. Good ideas, and then they turn around and do whatever they want anyways. The only way to really make change is to have a seat at the table.
Okay.
And so this year I figured, well, there's three positions up, two of them as commissioners. I felt like sort of like it was in the founding of our country. People ran for office not because they wanted to, because they felt an obligation to.
And from your resume here or your press release, it says that you have extensive experience with the rules, procedures, and structures of large organizations, and you're a graduate of MIT, right?
Right. Yeah.
Holy smokes, dude! Wow, man. What did you so? What did you do for a living? What was your career, David?
I ended up in this is interesting. I ended up being involved with selling infrastructure for laboratory buildings.
Okay.
So I was never going to end up in a laboratory myself. I'll help build the buildings.
Wow. And you did that for how many years?
It was about 25 or so years. I did various things before that, mainly in construction industry, but just settled on that.
What brought you to West Fargo? Because originally you're Wisconsin, right?
Yeah. Well, most recently we were in Green Bay.
Okay.
Our daughter wanted to be a pilot. Okay. So where do you go?
UND.
You go to UND because it's the MIT of aviation worldwide.
Yeah.
The best place to go. And like 90% of kids, she changed her major, became a teacher, and got her teaching certificate in UND, became a teacher, and ended up in Cooperstown, and met a guy who became the guy. Mm-hmm. And we realized that 10.5-hour drive each way was very tiresome.
Yeah.
So we just said, neither one of us are really from Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. My wife grew up in Minnesota, and I grew up in Michigan. Said, let's just move out there and we'll be closer to them, make it easier for them too. And sure. We were hoping something would happen. And 8 weeks ago, it did. Our first grandchild was born.
Yeah, congratulations, because I was going to get you on last week. And it's like, I'm seeing my new grandson. So kudos to you, man. Fantastic. Yeah. I think I already know the answer. I was going to ask you, what concerns you most about the city of West Fargo? Is it the budget? Is it money? What is it?
I always try to, it's two things. First is the finances. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you have a lot of growth is the gift that keeps on taking.
Yep.
You know, it's just, there's never any expenses involved with that. And that's where we really have to step back and look at that. The 3% cap from the state, which I support, I think it's good to at times be able to say, what are we really doing and why?
Rein it in.
Yep, mm-hmm. Exactly. But it's also a matter of mentoring staff. You know, 12 or 18 managers have been managed in their position less than 3 years.
Okay. Yeah, we had a huge turnover a couple of years back, big time.
We had constant turnover in some positions, like finance director.
Mm-hmm.
And of those 12, a number of them, this is their first job as manager. And so even with our senior staff, this is their first time in that position. So normally you expect senior staff to mentor younger staff.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not really capable of doing that, which they don't even recognize themselves, then you need to expect the commissioners to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioners aren't doing that. They assume that the staff are already experts. I'm not saying that managers aren't good at what they do,
mm-hmm.
but it's one thing to be a manager, and it's another thing to be technically very good. You know, that's why the MBA was created, was to help scientists and engineers to get the management skills to help them be promotable within their organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the second thing that needs to be done, is we just need to have a little bit more mentoring to help people, guide people.
701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. David with you in studio, running for one of the seats for the West Fargo City Commission, two seats up for grabs. And, of course, we've got a new mayor already. We know who that is. So you get elected to the commission. What's the first thing you do day one?
Well, the first thing you do day one is you – say, what did I get myself into? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first thing you do is you let the mayor know, say, hey, let me know what happens next from your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also reach out to the city administrator, because really that's who the chief operating officer is of the city.
Yeah.
You don't say, I'm going to go and sit down with all the department heads. No, you sit down with the state administrator and say, what's your onboarding procedure?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to appreciate organizations. Now they operate. You don't go in there and say, okay, I'm going to go in here, talk to these people and change some things. That's not the way it's done.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have your act together.
Let's go back to growth. I'm not an anti-growth guy, but it's, I just, to me, it just seems like we're growing too fast. And I brought this up with Denise Kolpak when she was on last hour. We hear, well, if we grow, that's more revenue coming in. Is it really more revenue? Because if you're growing, that means there's more services that are needed, whether right. it's plowing streets or fixing infrastructure or building infrastructure or more law enforcement. Are you really coming ahead?
That's the biggest mistake that most people make, is that growth from that perspective, especially in governments, is good. No, it's not good for that reason, the reasons you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to the business era. You know, often we had dealers who would get to be a certain size and then stop growing because they were making money.
Yeah.
And they knew that if they wanted to make that next step as far as the type of jobs they went after,
mm-hmm.
it would require a lot of investment. Once you make that investment, now you got to keep it fed. You got to constantly pay for it.
Yeah.
And I knew dealers that I went after to represent us because they were great value-added dealers. But they also knew that what size they wanted to be, and they would keep that size and be very good taking care of their customers. But their other manufacturers would want them to keep getting larger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really dangerous thing to do, is to say that if we just get bigger, we'll solve everything.
Yeah, it's not the case. So to me, David, it sounds like you're coming at this with the approach of, and I do like that, that, hey, look, the city of West Fargo, it is a business and it needs to be run like a business.
Yeah. You know, and the interesting thing is that people say, but no, but it's government. Yeah, it's government. But just like in business, there are different types of industries mm-hmm. and they operate differently. Well, government is just the same thing. Just think of it as another industry.
No.
And I remember, for instance, I remember when the 08-09 housing bubble burst.
Yeah.
And it affected everybody. And I remember being a part of our senior staff making decisions we didn't like making mm-hmm. to keep the company alive. But we had to do yeah. some certain things to make that happen. And when the 3% cap happens, you don't just say, well, we'll just take money from here or take money from there, type stuff. No, you have to sit back and retrench and say, what are we doing that we should be doing? What are the things we're doing that maybe we should not do anymore? You got to think that way.
Is when we're talking growth, is what do you think, coming from a business standpoint, is more dangerous for growth? Is it residential growth, homes, or is it commercial growth?
That's a good question, and really, well, a lot of people don't realize that the business growth actually helps support the residential growth. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go in the opposite direction, because the infrastructure that you typically require for residential is so much more.
Yeah,
and that's one of my big issues is that I've gone back through the records. I've gone through the Board of Equalization reports
yeah.
where they show these numbers. And for 20 years that the reports go back, it's been like 70% residential, 30% commercial, and it's plus or minus a point either way. Mm-hmm. But people always say, well, we're going to get more business in here. Well, then you got to make a point of doing that.
Yeah,
You got to force it. Where are we going to grow? What do we need to do to make it happen?
Well, I know... You know, this is it goes back a few years, but I know a lot of residents, when we started building Veterans Boulevard, and people are going, why in the hell are we putting housing in this prime commercial real estate? Why are we allowing this? You look across the street, and it's just, it's all, and that's the Fargo side is on the east and of Veterans, and the west side is West Fargo. And people are like, why are you allowing apartment buildings to go up here?
Drives me nuts every time I drive on Veterans.
Are you one of them?
I am one of those people that think, just think about the sales tax revenue generating firms that could have been on the west side of Veterans,
yeah.
but aren't. And that includes schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are three major schools
yeah.
that are on Veterans
yep.
that aren't even, not just not sales tax revenue generating, they're not property tax generating.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Is there a business that you would really like to see to come to West Fargo? What does West Fargo need business-wise? Where you're like, man, if we could get this... Yeah, White Castle. Yeah, Ronnie, White Castle, please.
You know what? Let me answer that from an industry perspective.
Okay.
We've got the Grant Farm. Mm-hmm. We've got a land-grant college at NDSU with a great ag department doing really cool research.
Yeah.
And thing about university research is they're really good at what they do,
mm-hmm.
but they're not always that good at bringing it to the business, to the marketplace.
Okay.
And oftentimes what you need, and they have good incubators for the non-ag stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at this thing, we've got the Grant Farm, which is a nation-leading enterprise in what they do, and there are firms that want to come up here and work with them. They need a place to go that supports what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see that here. And because I think there's a need for that. No, I know there's a need for that. And we should jump on that. And by jump on that, I mean like that doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
Because you got to have the right stuff. In laboratory buildings, many of the buildings that we did were incubator buildings.
Okay.
And there's first stage and there's second stage. You got to have the right materials for what they need to do at each stage.
So that's what you think we need, huh?
I like the idea of value added.
Not a White Castle, not a...
I didn't say that.
Not a White Castle. All right, 701-293-9000, email studio at wdayradionow.com. Email says, Jay, can you ask Dave, does he support the Jay Thomas? Would you guys stop with this? Does he support the Jay Thomas write-in campaign for West Fargo mayor?
I believe in competition.
People don't. Man, I mean it, man. Don't do that. Don't do that, man. 701-293-9000. Email it's studio at wdayradionow.com. Dave, when we come back, let's talk public safety, how you feel we're sitting there. I want to talk about, you know, we're going to decommission these lagoons up in the north. What do you think should happen up there? I mean, for the most part, West Fargo, there's just not a lot of issues, at least. I mean, I've lived out there for over a couple decades now. It just seems like, I mean, we're sitting okay, but other than your concerns with financial, right?
Right, right.
No.
I mean, I think there's others, but as I tell people on the trail, is that, you know, we don't have to attract people to West Fargo. They already want to come to West Fargo.
They do.
We got good schools, good parks, good health care, good retail. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a place people want to live.
Yeah, they do. I said this when I had one of the candidates on last week. It's like, remember when I first moved out to West Fargo? So, you live in West Fargo? It's like you're on the wrong side of the track. And I love that.
Yeah.
All right. More with Dave with you. We come back. Jay Thomas Show. All right, Ronnie, we were talking about this earlier about Jade Presents. Well, now the files for the bankruptcy list him at nearly $3 million in debt.
Ouch.
Yeah. And boy, for folks that have paid for tickets. Employees are saying what paychecks weren't going through, whatever. You're going to be way at the bottom, right, David? You'd know this stuff.
Yep.
I mean, you look at this, and on this filing, listed more than 100 creditors. Largest unsecured claim comes from Horizon Investment LLC of Fargo, which is owed $475,000. In an unsecured loan. Bravada Bank and Midwest Bank are each owed roughly $250,000 through separate lines of credit, with Midwest Bank holding an additional $100,000, $100,000 unsecured loan. The U.S. Small Business Administration holds a $150,000 secured claim, while David Bernstein of Sioux City, Iowa is listed at $175,000. And then there's more and more and more. So, yeah, you're taking money. That's bottom of the barrel. That's... don't hold your breath on that, folks. That's the latest.
I did get a correction on talking about my wife's deal. She said no to Somerset. Yes, it was COVID. They went bankrupt shortly thereafter. The festival was called Rock USA.
Oh, never heard of that one.
Spent $900 and got $80 back. And yes, they did go bankrupt.
So. Holy smokes. Dave Withey's running for West Fargo City Commission seat, and he's joining us in studio. Of course, tomorrow is Election Day. Have you voted yet, Ronnie? Or are you like me? I do it on election day. I say I don't like the early vote. I'll go out on election day.
Yep,
man.
It was absolutely perfect. You didn't have to stand in line, deal with the hubbub. There were 10 people there when we went.
Love it.
It was perfect.
Dave, where are you at with giving tax breaks? I bring that up because right now we're looking at possibly a pilot, I believe, is this one they'd use for the old doctor's house there on Cheyenne Street that they want to convert into, or not convert, but they want to build these. First they got to rezone it, get that approved, but then they want to put in this. I was told it was a 55 plus community, but I can't find that anywhere.
Well, you know, that's part of the information, lack of information that often happens. For instance, with the pilot that we just recently had presented to the commission. Mm-hmm. You know, it shows, you know, here's the sales tax revenues that'll help generate by coming in.
Yep.
That's going to balance off on the investments that we make initially. Mm-hmm. That's all great. What we never hear, though, is that how did all those actually work out? We don't get any annual report saying, here are the outstanding investments, or not investments, but inducements that we've given, and here's where they stand right now. You know, that's sort of like basic, you know, management, is knowing how these things are working. When it comes to business, I'm much more likely to support something if it's got some good logic behind it.
Yeah.
Now, for instance, if you're bringing in a company, you want to bring in a company that's going to be competing with several other companies that are already in your city, why would you do that?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember I started getting years ago, my mother got me a subscription to Sports Illustrated. It was great. And then I started realizing as an adult and keeping it going, he's like, all the incentives they give for new subscribers, going to offer to their loyal readers, yeah. You know, the loyal subscribers. Mm-hmm. And then realize, geez, no, this is back in Wisconsin, and the Y did the same thing. And I'm thinking, my priority is let's take care of the people who live here, the people who have businesses here,
yeah.
and have already made those investments. Mm-hmm. Then let's look at, from a plan perspective, what other kind of companies we want to have come in here, what's going to take to come in.
Yeah.
When it comes to residential, I said, no, the best incentive, best thing we can do to attract people is what we've already done. Good schools, good mm-hmm. parks, good health care, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
They don't need the money, you know, when they come in here. And that often comes across differently than it should. But also, the Chaley Institute at North Dakota State University is an applied economics institute. In other words, take economics, now do you actually use it?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of their focus is based upon rural and semi-urban settings. And all the studies that they've done and that they look at around the country say these incentives don't really work.
Yeah.
Not for the purpose you say they're going to work.
Well, there's the belief that, if they really want to build here, there's a reason they want to build here, whether it's, you know, a new housing development or business, because they know that this is the place to be. Are they still going to come even if they don't get the incentives? Prime example is when they wanted to build that, what they called affordable, I can't remember if they actually used the word affordable housing in Fargo, that big company or development company out of, was it Chicago or wherever, mm-hmm. wanted to do that massive complex in downtown and said they couldn't do it unless they got a 15-year TIF and they couldn't make it work. And Cass County Commissioner said, no, that's not happening. We're not going 15 years. And even the school, Fargo School, said, no, we're not going 15 years. But it was just miraculous that, you know, a month later, they come back and go, oh, yeah, we can make this work.
Yeah,
we can make this work.
Yeah, I'm the same way as that. If you can't make it work without this incentive, maybe it's not a good investment for mm-hmm. us to make, because you should have a better faith in your business yeah. plan.
If you do, because I do understand, I mean, if you're sitting on a plot of land and it's only generating, say, $12,000 a year in property taxes, company comes in, you're going to give them a five-year break on the taxes. And after that 5 years, they're now going to pay, you know, $100,000 a year for that property.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that at all. That makes sense. You're going to eat it a little bit in the beginning. I mean, but the payoff at the end is going to be, it's going to be big. But if something falls through, doesn't work, it's sold, whatever it is, do you have written in there that you can claw that money back?
I'll give you an example of that. Downtown West Fargo. They decided we're going to make this look better.
Mm-hmm.
They trawled a lot of bought out a lot of the businesses that were there that brought all the people downtown,
mm-hmm.
and replaced them with office buildings. One of those buildings has never been built. That's in that TIF district.
Which one wasn't built?
It's where the additional parking lot is.
Oh, that's right.
Was paid poorly.
That's right.
They just decided, because it was related to all the epic
stuff. Yeah, the epic nightmare, yeah.
And they decided, we got the lights going on, let's just put all of our focus there. That property's not been developed. It's still one of those remaining LLCs, and it's generating no revenue, so they actually have to do a special assessment to pay their part of the TIF that's down there. So that's the type of thing that you want to do your best to try to avoid mm-hmm. have happen.
Well, that, speaking of Old Town West Fargo, and yes, I will never refer to it as a yard. It's Old Town. And that's my neighborhood. I'm kind of in that area. What they did down there is fantastic. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. But it's you could see it just, now I'm not saying that's the city's fault or whatever, but I wish there was more of a push to finish it, because you got that old Superstopper on the corner that's falling apart. You got the empty lots there. It just doesn't look good.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when we get asked, what are you going to do to help bring more traffic downtown? Well, you know, that ship has sailed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the type of businesses you need down there that bring people to mm-hmm. buy stuff are the companies that sell those people things.
Yeah.
And instead you took up all that space. What really hurts is that they took away so much of the parking that was downtown.
Yeah. A lot of it's gone.
Yeah.
How are you? How if I was to say, give me a list of issues that, other than financially, you talked about those concerns. So what other issues are there that concerns you when it comes to West Fargo?
Well, you know, I think people say that this is happening, but I don't see it, and that is good communication between the different governmental entities. You know, we were talking before about veterans. You know, people should have been talking to each other about, hey, we're thinking about doing this.
Yeah.
How is this going to affect you? And can we do something differently to help prove things? I think there needs to be some improved communication in that respect.
Okay.
And that's just people reaching out and talking to each other. Sure. No, I see some of it happening already.
Okay.
So you look at, Amy Zindel.
Yeah.
With the Park District also being with the
commission.
City commission. You know, there are pieces of property here where the city has responsibility for mowing part of it. The Park District has responsibility for mowing another part. And the school district has responsibility for mowing another part of it.
God.
So you have three different groups going on there. And Amy and her people already have said, hey, wait a second. Let's start just doing some trade-offs here. We'll do this property in entirety. You do this property in entirety.
Yeah.
So let's just be more efficient in the way we do this stuff.
Yeah, she's been good, man. I was a little concerned when she got the executive director job for the parks. Not that I didn't think she could do it, but my concern was, okay, what's that going to do with her, you know, taking her time on focusing on city commission issues? But she's handled them both well.
You know, from day one, she's been the best prepared commissioner to discuss issues at the commission meetings. She always has good questions. Mm-hmm. Whether you agree with her or not is true with anybody.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But it's a matter. But she comes prepared, and I also give Amy and Rory Jorgensen credit that whenever it's time to accuse themselves, they do that.
They do exactly. Nope, yeah. they've been very good about that. Yeah. And I think both of them have done a good job as commissioners for the city of West Fargo. How do you feel when it comes to public safety? Do you think Chief Nielsen has everything that he needs, or?
You know, you never know the deep stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember that when they were talking about, you know, the buildings and coming out to the Wex Center and leaving for the police back there, is that, you know, it sounded like we have things that they need.
Yeah.
And probably a little bit better than that. But, you know, that's what you want. Yeah. You want. And I remember that when the fire department got their certification, well, I've seen things where certification was like, if you're breathing, we can certify you. That's simple. So I checked into that certification.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. Oh. That's a big deal for our city.
Oh, it's huge.
Because, there aren't a lot of fire departments that actually attain that certification.
Yeah.
I looked it up in their association website. And they show the numbers who do and don't. I think that from the police perspective and the fire, I would expect them to say, but I would expect to hear from any manager, there's some things we need to do to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so far that's happening. I don't hear of any concerns.
When it comes to the core West Fargo, that would be... you know, of course, Old Town West Fargo, the original neighborhoods, and the city knows this. There are major infrastructure issues. One neighborhood last year got fixed, and you're talking homes, neighborhoods that were built, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, even the 80s, where it's all original, and they're going to have to go in there and start replacing a lot of the underground. And that's tens of thousands of dollars in specials. Do you think there's anything the city can do to try to offset that? Because sticking specials on these older homes like that, you know, you got a home that's, you know, built in the 60s and now you got $40,000 in specials on it. And, you know, the argument is, well, we just, you know, look what we did to the neighborhood. Now when you sell the home, you can say, look, you got new infrastructure, you got this, got that. I'm sorry, but, you know, still, you're looking at the house going, that home's got $40,000 in specials on an old home. I don't think so.
Yeah, you see, and that's part of the issue I've had for a long time is that part of West Fargo is, I think there are people who would probably prefer that it just be old thing be redone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just tell people you're not welcome here anymore
mm-hmm.
when they've been helping build pay for a lot of new schools that their kids will or grandkids will never go to.
Yeah.
You know, things. And, you know, this is the first place we've lived where specials have been used so much, so often. Usually it was like, okay, if something new is coming in, then there's a special. Everything after that, there weren't specials involved. So it's a mill and overlay. That's just part of what the city is there to take care of.
Yeah.
Now you're going to tax me for the privilege of you doing what you're supposed to be doing anyways.
Exactly.
No, those are the rules. Of course, now to make that happen, the city can actually change specials on a dime just by saying, because that's how they made the big improvement they've done so far. Mm-hmm. They changed the percentage of the cost that goes to the taxpayer.
Yeah.
Just change the percentage. Well, they can do the same thing again. Say, okay, it's going to be zero. But to do that, they now have to face the facts and say, okay, we have to be serious about our budgets.
Yeah.
Where are we really spending our money? What concerns me there is that you look at the infrastructure sales tax, that was sold to the public as being, this will only be capital infrastructure. Mm-hmm. This will not be operating expenses. Well, 2 years ago, I hired five street department workers and are still paying for them off of the infrastructure tax. And now this year, they're doing $2.5 million of operating expenses from that. Total misuse of the revenues. No, it's going to mean some hard decisions. You got to use revenues for what they really mean, they're intended for.
Dave, I'm almost out of time here. What do you want to tell the listeners?
Well, you know, I just appreciate the opportunity to even be able to be considered for office. I have no political aspirations. I'm doing there because I want our taxes to be used effectively, mm-hmm. not excessively.
No.
And I believe we've got a great community, and it's through people being involved that we can keep it that way. I believe that I'm probably the best prepared candidate because I've attended most of the commission meetings over the last 3 years.
It's crazy.
I don't start attending just because I want to run for an office. I've been here for 3 years because I've been concerned about a lot of the issues that we've talked about here on the show mm-hmm. Many times in the past.
Has TAP made the West Fargo TAP group made a difference?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. As I was walking around getting signatures from people, I was often asked, are you a part of the TAP group? Because
mm-hmm.
we follow those people. We support them. So based on that feedback, I think we have made a good difference. Just if another reason, because we've helped uncover things mm-hmm. that need to be known.
Yeah.
You know, it's a government. It's supposed to be open.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't like it, find a different job.
There you go. Exactly. Well, Dave, thanks for coming in here. Good luck tomorrow on the West Fargo City Commission race. And I'm guessing by about 10 o'clock tomorrow night, we'll know who's sitting in those chairs for the next four years.
Depends on how the weather is, I guess.
Well, the weather sounds like about 8 is when we got to start worrying, between 8 and 11. Polls close at 7. Yeah. Well, polls close at 7, so we should be able to get that all in. But and we'll have full coverage tomorrow here. Myself, along with Tim Flack, will be here on 970 WDAY from 7 till, well, whenever we get out of here. AM 1100 The Flag. You listeners, you'll have Scott and Steve, and you folks out and listening out in central western North Dakota, you'll have Mark Levin. News next here on WDAY. For the rest of your stations, you got the great one, Mark Levin. Have a great one. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2.